Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yo, what's happening? Coming to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience on this Wednesday around the country, day before the Masters. Hello, friends. Tinky Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. It's your popcorn, it's your peanuts here.
It continues.
We got the lion tamer, we got the sword swallower, we got the bearded lady, and we've got the Lakers.
But are you surprised, BT?
Am I surprised that Magic quit with one game to go and didn't tell Jeannie Buss or Rob Pelinka? Yeah, I'm a little surprised.
He said that he would step down if things weren't going well. What have you been saying for the last 2 months? Magic is doing a terrible job. So of course, you're not surprised he's stepping down.
Circus.
I'm not surprised one bit.
Here's what surprises me. And I remember saying this last week, but just to, you know, chronicle it again, because Magic is forcing us to do that. Magic Johnson has been either an epic success or an epic failure. He really has had no middle ground in his entire career, at least, you know, in terms of the public spotlight, really, what he's done for a living.
Kind of life, if you go back to college. We don't know what happened.
Predating, I'm sure it was fine.
But from Michigan State on, it's been epic success or epic failure.
One of the five greatest college players of all time, check. One of the five or ten greatest NBA players of all time, check. Amazing, and this is huge, contribution to the destigmatizing of HIV and AIDS and bringing it mainstream, the phenomenal advocate that he's been for a dreaded, you know, dastardly disease. Everything he's done well, he's done great. Everything he's done poorly, it has been flames of failure. From his brief stint as a head coach to his late night talk show circuit, which was is so bad and not even worth looking it up on YouTube. It was that bad. His horrendous showing as an NBA analyst, and really now his horrendous display as an NBA executive. I only point that out not to take shots at Magic, but there is a greater point here. And the greater point to me is that while this track record is either, you know, platinum or soil, you know, three layers below the sod, he was always classy. He always comported himself with dignity and great pride and, you know, great presence and a great understanding for other people that may feel the wrath of his decision one way or the other.
I agree with you.
Till last night. What Magic Johnson did last night was among the most pathetic, most embarrassing, most short-sighted, and most selfish acts I've ever seen from any sporting luminary in my life.
Wow, that's
that
harsh.
Was disgraceful.
That's
what Magic Johnson did.
Why so harsh? Why so harsh on him for how he decided to step down from the LA Lakers? Because he didn't tell Jeannie Buss? Is that why?
That's part of it. The absence of normal professional protocol is impossible to defend. Hmm. I mean, this guy. And the reasons are comical, which we'll get to. But I'm going to even respect the reasons because I want everybody to live their best life. That's fine.
Well, good.
You know, you want to be an NBA ambassador. You want to tweet. You don't want to work hard. You don't want to fire Luke Walton. I'm not mad at you.
No, he did want to fire Luke Walton.
No, he didn't want to do it. He said he did not want to have to do it.
Oh, I see.
That was like one of the five or six reasons he wanted to tweet. Remember the thing with Ben Simmons when there was like basically borderline tampering charges because Ben Simmons reached out and the Sixers and the Lakers had this little tweet war.
Yeah, they had to figure out whether or not he could coach him or talk to him
or
hang out in the offseason and teach him what he knows about being a big point guard in the NBA.
And I think Magic, first of all, Magic, and I don't blame him, Magic loves being Magic. And that sounds like a pretty good life to lead. I'm not mad at him. But how he left the Lakers, a franchise, he didn't play 3 years or 5 years. He's a Laker for life, a franchise that stood behind him. Now, keep in mind, when he announced the HIV virus, November 7th, I want to say 1991, and obviously, sadly, had retired. But then he came back. The Lakers supported him. Karl Malone didn't want to play against mm-hmm. him. A lot of his peers who had great, profound respect for Magic as a person, as a player, they didn't want to be near him on the court. God forbid he gets cut. The Lakers stood by him every inch of the way. This is how he rewards the Lakers at the end of the day?
Well, look,
he quits in the middle of the night, not even telling his boss?
I think it takes some strength and self-awareness to know what you're good at, to know what you're not. You've been saying this all season. He's terrible at his job.
He's terrible.
And he was maybe in the first couple of months.
Julius Randle, yeah, D'Angelo Russell,
but maybe in the first couple
Brooke
of months,
Lopez.
Perceptually, you could have defended some of the things he were making. Julius Randle, we didn't know. Julius Randle had a coming on at the end of last season, but it was such a small
sample. But what about D'Angelo Russell?
D'Angelo Russell is no excuse.
Well, what about Lonzo Ball? Lonzo, taking him two overall. I mean, why'd he take him?
Everybody thought Lonzo was going to be a star.
We didn't. On this show, we're not even GMs.
But
we knew he wasn't going to be a star.
But a lot of people thought Lonzo was going to be a star just because of I don't know, how good he was in high school and how good he was in college, despite his broke shot and only playing for a season. So you can defend some of those early moves. It was ultimately, though, how he was handling the stars. And that's what he came there to be, right, and to do. He wanted to bring the Showtime back to the Lakers. I want to have the worthy class and the Thompson class and all these greats that went through Lakers.
You mean stylistically,
persona, just how they carry themselves.
Yep.
Michael Cooper, like all these guys, right? He wanted that back, and it started with LeBron, but he didn't know how to handle those guys. Now here's Magic's biggest problem: to be a sports executive is unique. I mean, you kind of have to be ruthless. Right, you kind of have to be
like Jeter is right now with the Marlins.
A little bit of an ass,
like Jeter is with the Marlins.
Exactly.
I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to build the team.
I actually think Derek Jeter is going to be all right in the long run.
I do too. But, although he got booed in Miami last night with Dwayne Wade, they hate him down there.
But whatever.
I hear you. I hear you.
They got to get profitable before they can build anything.
Correct.
You got to rebuild that foundation.
Right? I agree with that.
But he's an ass. Magic Johnson wants to be liked and loved by everyone.
And I'm not mad at that.
I'm not mad at
that. But you still got to tell your boss.
But in order to be a sports executive, you got to be a little bit duplicitous. You got to be a little bit shady.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be ruthless. Because it's all fair and love and business, right?
Yeah.
And so what Magic can't do is not be Magic.
Mm-hmm.
He loves people. He's gregarious.
Yeah.
He's outgoing. He's engaging. If you meet Magic or even just talk to Magic, you love Magic.
There's no question.
Makes him such a great businessman, right? Because you meet him, you want to do business with him.
Mm-hmm.
And it works.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work in sports. And I think he realized that. So in some ways, I can forgive him because he knows he realized this wasn't his strength. And it wasn't making him feel strong.
Horrendous execution.
And there was no success around him.
It's funny, though. For a guy who's so good at business, didn't even know business 101. Had a knock on your... I mean, is he that fragile? And his excuse was pathetic. Well, I didn't want Jeannie to coerce me out of it. I mean, dude, I know that you have a backbone. Of course you do. But you sound like you have no direction. Like you're directionless. Like you're a rudderless ship. I mean, geez, if you're afraid that she's going to change your mind, are you really that adamant about stepping away in the first place? I'm not mad at him for leaving. I laud him for wanting to live his best life. Execution, horrendous. Horrendous. Laker fans deserve better. And as much as LeBron gets on my last nerve, LeBron James deserved better. LeBron, and we'll get to that after. There's the other element about LeBron, and we'll get to it for sure. What a mess. Like I said, I started singing the circus music when we started the show. It is a full-fledged circus. It is awful with the Lakers. Last night, just the culmination. Well, the culmination will be this summer when officially nobody goes to join forces with LeBron. But this was the this was the final shot before the Lakers are fully depleted and will have to resuscitate from ground zero. They are dormant right now. Wow. All right, T, coming up. Tiki's guy, Ty Jerome.
Yes, it is. Ty Jerome, national champion, Ty Jerome.
We're going to get him on the show next. Usually we don't do an interview this early, but I know he's got a tight schedule. Obviously, Tiki, champion, heck of a player, big moment. So he'll join us next. Then we'll get back to the Magic stuff. You want to tweet us, get us on Twitter. Phones are already coming in, so sit there. 855-212-4227. I mean, Magic. I mean, a little Kuth. I mean, a little business presence. Jeez. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. On a Wednesday before the Masters, a lot of golf. A little later in the show, of course. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, and, of course, Sirius XM Channel 206. We're waiting on Ty Jerome, a terrific guard for the Cavs, the national champion Virginia Cavs, Tiki's Cavs.
So wah, wah.
Should be calling in a little bit. Now, do you, like, walk around campus? Is that... Do you actually, like, do that to each other?
No, you do it when you see alum outside of grounds.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't call it campus. We call it grounds.
Grounds.
Outside of grounds, you see someone. Like, I can tell when someone just has a hat and they're not, like, UVA. They didn't go there or they don't really have someone close and went there. Because I'll walk by and I'll go, wahoo, wah. And they just kind of look at me like,
who's this guy? Who's this weirdo? Kind of looks like the old football player. Yeah, right? Who's this weirdo?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
It's funny you say that because Sunday night we went to my sister's and my sister lives on the Upper East Side. So aside from the fact that it's coming in from Jersey, WrestleMania, and it was a pain in the ass. Once we got there, it was tremendous. But we're going into the apartment and somewhat of an older gentleman, maybe mid-50s-ish.
Okay.
Mid-50s, maybe tapping into the early 60s, maybe. But he's walking his dog, and he's wearing a Virginia cap.
Nice.
And I say, good luck tomorrow, you know? He actually looked at me, and he said, huh? And I said, good luck tomorrow. And he looked at me again. I'm like, this guy's pathetic.
He's just got wearing a hat for. He probably didn't realize what hat he grabbed.
Oh, come on,
I don't
man.
Know. Maybe it was his wife.
Stop.
It was his wife.
Stop.
I don't know. Who knows?
How about this, though? One thing we do know, and this is another branch on the Magic Johnson tree of defection. You ready? And I think this is even more interesting than the Magic stuff, because that is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron James.
Yeah.
He left the Cavs the first time. Then he left Miami. Then he left the Cavs again. Every time he was the one who was setting the framework for an exit, it was the roster's not good enough. I need a chance to win titles. I want a different lifestyle.
Yeah.
It was LeBron leaving, and that's fine. His decisions.
You're right.
First time in his professional life, somebody, without saying it, said, I'm leaving you.
Wow.
And I think that's incredibly fascinating.
I think it is as well because, look, if LeBron had come to the Lakers with Magic, you know, urging and confidence that they were going to build this championship roster and you're going to get one more run at it before you hang up your shoes and put away the basketball. LeBron probably felt like Magic is the perfect person to do this. But the reality is, as we just detailed, Magic didn't have he sold LeBron something that he couldn't fulfill on. And it sucks for LeBron in some ways, but you can't feel sorry for him. You know?
Oh, I don't feel sorry for him, and I would even challenge, you know, what you say about Magic sold him. I'm not even so sure that Magic had to sell him. Like, you talk about Magic's resume with the Lakers, and we ran down the bad stuff, and LeBron is positioned as the great stuff.
Yeah.
But you actually think Magic had to really coerce LeBron James to come play for the Lakers?
I only say that because in Magic's press conference, and I listened to the whole thing. I just happened to catch it when it was on. I didn't see any notes or anything. I turned on the TV. It was on.
Wow.
This is cool.
Mm-hmm.
My TV was on NBA TV. They broke away, and they started this special edition of whatever show they were on.
The Defection.
I know. And Magic was talking. And as I'm listening to him, I'm like, all right, he feels happy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But someone asked a question about, do you consider your short tenure here a success or a failure? I guess that was, you couldn't really hear the question, but I'm assuming that was the question because of his answer.
Mm-hmm.
He reached back and he said, well, you see that guy back there? I'm assuming LeBron was in the room. I got LeBron to come here, right? People said LeBron wasn't coming here. I got LeBron to come here. So that's the only reason that I think he had conversation, but it could just be him posturing, you know, for to make his tenure look good as president of basketball operations.
Oh boy, yeah. I mean, I don't think he was pointing at Lance Stephenson in the corner or JaVale McGee.
No.
I mean, by the way, I know that it's so immaterial to their current state. But imagine LeBron with D'Angelo Russell. Just imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Yeah, a scorer, a shooter.
Mm-hmm.
He just doesn't have any
right now. No, and that's...
And look, if you're gonna deal one of those guys, he was probably the one you wanted to hold on to because he's so much closer to Kyrie than Ingram is, than Kuzma is, than... I mean, maybe not Lonzo, but probably Lonzo, because Lonzo's not a scorer in any sense of the word. He's a good defender, but he's not that great of a scorer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you wanted to replicate what has been successful for LeBron James in his career, give me a guy who's a unique scorer, like Dwayne Wade was, who always would be in the paint, scoring at the rim, mid-range jumpers, like Kyrie, who was deadly at times from range and, you know, could kiss it anywhere off the glass and get it to drop into the hole.
Yep.
Give me a D'Angelo Russell, right? That fits LeBron's model of success.
Yep.
And so it's kind of short-sighted to take that negative press from that stupid Snapchat incident that happened with him and Swaggy P and use that as the reason to get rid of him.
Because
that was the reason to get rid of him. 100%. He's a locker room cancer.
100%.
He's 19 years old.
Yep. And no, to be fair, Kenny Atkinson and the Nets have rehabilitated him in the basketball sense and made him a better player
of course.
Than he was. But that comes with age. He's still a young... D'Angelo Russell is 21.
Yeah.
He's a kid.
I know it.
I mean, imagine the Lakers now. Again, it's immaterial to their future and immaterial to their present, but you draft Lonzo Ball too. Imagine if you would have drafted, whether it's, you know, Markkanen, and not to mention De'Aaron Fox or other guys as well, even Jonathan Isaac, you know, a young player with the match. I mean, if you had LeBron, Russell, and somebody other than Lonzo, Tatum, who went the next pick at 3.
That's a good point.
Can you imagine the direction and the trajectory of the Lakers and how they would be perceived now? Versus how they are perceived as a train wreck, a complete dumpster fire.
Yeah, you're right, because you're
sinking ship.
You're looking for the one prospect that's surefire. Like, this kid's going to be it in a couple of years. I mean, Kuzma's probably that, but you're still looking for that one that they've brought in the last 3 years, and it's just not there yet.
No, I mean, you know, this draft has turned out pretty good. I mean, Markel Fultz, we know his situation, is going back a couple of years ago, and this is not second-guessing. You could go and you could find... whether it's on iTunes, whether it's on YouTube, whether it's TikiandTierney.com, CBSSportsRadio.com, this room, and comprising this room, 50% me and 50% my partner, not once did we ever think that Lonzo was a surefire thing.
No.
Not once.
I think Lonzo's a good player, but if I'm picking...
I'm talking about before he even played a second in the NBA.
Agree, but
thought that.
If you're picking number two,
yep.
I got to get a guy that I know that dominated in college and... When I talked to him and I met him, he just felt like the man.
Mm-hmm.
And Lonzo's not that.
No.
I mean, we had a conversation with Lonzo Ball.
It was the worst interview in the history. I almost hung up on him.
BT, it was the most uncomfortable conversation
I think
I've ever had with an athlete in my life.
I would say that I felt sorry for our audience, but I felt more sorry for us. Because we had to sit through it. It was rough. I mean, I say I almost hung up on him. I wouldn't do that to him because he wasn't rude, although he was bordering on being incredibly indifferent. And that was giving me reason to maybe clip him there, but that was bad stuff. I guarantee that this interview will be better. Ty Jerome, it can't be worse. Ty Jerome, national champ on the Virginia Cap. I'm going to basically let my man Teak introduce your boy, will you? Come on now.
National champion for our Virginia Cavaliers. Ty Jerome joins us from New Rochelle, New York. You're local to us. Wahoo wah, first of all, Ty. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Hey, man, you guys have to feel amazing. We all know the narrative from last season with UNBC to the run through the NCAA tournament, especially starting at the Sweet 16 with all those high-pressure games. What's your emotion putting all that together and thinking about the success that you all as a team just accomplished?
Yeah, honestly, it still doesn't feel real yet. You know, we celebrated a little bit last night as a team, and it was just – it's unreal, you know, to think we were down by 14 points to Gardner-Webb and we were facing another situation like last year, and then to rally back and win the whole thing is unbelievable.
Yeah, no, it was. And let me take you through a couple of the games. One, especially Purdue, with Diakite hitting the buzzer beater and you guys ultimately winning in overtime. And then you get to the next round, and it's the same thing. It's like a pressure situation every single one of these games, including the final, which also went into overtime. What about you all, the construction of this team, and I guess more importantly, Coach Bennett's personality I think rubs off on you guys a little bit because he's so damn calm. What is it that makes you guys so capable of executing and slowing your heart rate down in those really critical moments?
Yeah, I think it's just how much belief we have in each other. You know, you look around and everyone believes in each other, and, you know, that just gives everyone confidence to take a big shot or, you know, really buckle down at the end of the game and try to get a stop. And, you know, we don't put any pressure on ourselves, and coach does a great job of instilling confidence in us, and he prepares us for all those late-game situations.
Just an amazing team. That's Ty Jerome with the Cavs. Virginia Cavaliers, national champs, Tiki School, of course. He's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Now, Ty, I sit from afar, so I can actually say, yeah, I thought they were going to go back and win it the next year. I mean, did you guys really believe that? I mean, you lost a couple of guys. Devin Hall obviously moves on. He graduates. So some of the leaders from that UMBC team, that 2017-18 team, had left. Did you guys really believe, you know, despite the negativity and the jokes and the clowning and all this nonsense that we all had to endure as Cavalier fans and players. Did you guys really believe it?
Yeah, we did. We actually had higher expectations for ourselves coming into this year than the previous year, because I think we knew what we were returning. We knew how good we could be. You know, as the previous year, I think we were preseason 6th or 7th in the ACC. So we knew we had to make up for, you know, Isaiah and Devin leaving, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But we knew how much we were returning to.
You know what's really going to stick with me forever, and I would imagine pretty much everybody that watched this, and just watching Kyle Guy step up to a free throw line and having to make three, not one out of two, not two out of three, three out of three, didn't even really graze the rim. But I'm curious, Ty, what's tougher? Being in the spot where your margin for error is almost non-existent, or having to watch a teammate do that and have no control over the situation yourself?
Yeah, that's a tough question. I mean, it wasn't that tough for me because, you know, I've seen him do it so many times, and I have so much belief in him that, you know, when I heard he got fouled, I was like, wow, you know, we're about to win this game. Because, you know, I had, you know, him, I wouldn't rather have anyone else at the line.
I got to tell you, Ty, I was sitting under the basket. This is the exact basket that Kyle had to shoot those on. As soon as he shot it, I was like, oh, game over. I was so despondent. And the dude said next to me, said, they called a foul. I started freaking out.
Yeah, he couldn't hear the whistle, Ty.
I couldn't hear it because it was so loud. But I knew. And as soon as I knew it was a foul, I said, game over. But you know, let me back you up a while, you know, 4 years ago. You're in Iona Prep up in New Rochelle, which is not far from our studio here in downtown Manhattan.
I used to play against Iona Prep. Ty, I went to Xavier, by the way. We used to beat you guys up in everything.
Don't let him brag. But, you know, you're getting recruited, and I don't know where you got recruited to, but Tony Bennett comes knocking, and he tells you about his program and what he's trying to build. What was your reaction to him? Because he's unconventional in the sense that most college basketball programs aren't saying we're going to lock down defensively. You're not going to score a ton. You know, we're going to hold teams to our style of play. We're going to play the slowest pace in college basketball. What was enticing to you to head down to Charlottesville and ultimately win this championship? But why did you do that?
Well, when he makes his recruiting pitch, he doesn't focus on, you know, the fact that we're going to play the slowest pace in basketball. That's not the first thing he mentions. But, yeah, it was just a family atmosphere and how close everyone on the team was, how united, you know, the whole school is, how big basketball is down here. And then it was the opportunity to grow, you know, on and off the court. Our strength coach is great. And just defense is actually something I really wanted to improve on, especially to try to get to the next level. And, you know, I knew I needed to grow in that area especially. And, you know, I figured, you know, come here and try to work on that.
Yeah, was it hard? Because I saw Malcolm Brogdon at the game as well. And we were asking him about, you know, the proverbial pack line defense that Tony Bennett likes to play. And he says it takes like a year, maybe a year plus to learn all the ins and outs and the machinations of it. You know, how hard is it to learn the schemes and the defenses and even some of the offensive systems that Tony Bennett likes to employ? Because a lot of college coaches aren't that way. They just roll the ball out on the court and let these athletes take over.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's definitely an adjustment for everyone that comes in, and everyone will say the same thing. For me, it wasn't necessarily the mental aspects of it. I picked up the system pretty quickly. But, you know, just physically trying to guard older guys when I first got to school was real challenging. And really for everybody that came in with me, that came in with that recruiting class, we all had our, you know, different challenges, especially defensively. So it was all something we really had to try to adjust to and try to pick up as fast as possible.
Otherwise, you're not playing. Otherwise, you're nailed exactly. to the bench, and you might be in the transfer portal.
Exactly.
We're talking to Ty Jerome, outstanding guard for the Cavs and national champions, and he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
I was going to say, make sure you get that in. National champion.
Hey, man, listen, I carry the burden for you, man. I got your back.
You know, look, I think, and I don't know this is as truth, but you know, I'm going to assume that DeAndre Hunter is going to forego his remaining years and go to the NBA. You don't have to comment on that. We don't know yet. But both you and Kyle Guy have a year left. What are your plans?
Yeah, you know, I haven't decided yet. I haven't sat down with coach or sat down with my family yet to fully discuss that and figure that out yet.
But you thinking about it, though?
Yeah, I'm thinking about it right now, and I'm not sure what I'm going to do yet.
Yeah, I can understand. It's got to be enticing, though. I mean, walking off the way that DeAndre certainly, I think, will, and you and Kyle might be able to do it well, is certainly something that's got to be amazing. I know you guys are having a party, at least the school, the athletic department is having a big shindig on Saturday. I wish I could come, but I'm overseas. What are you expecting out there? Because I know when you arrive back yesterday afternoon, it had to be electric in Charlottesville.
Yeah, no, the support was unreal. When we got back, it was hundreds and hundreds of people, maybe even thousands, just outside of our stadium, you know, waiting for us to walk back in. And Coach Bennett and Kyle addressed the crowd, and everyone, you know, was so enthusiastic. And it was amazing to see the joy we brought to our fans.
Yeah, now – We focus a lot on you, and we focus a lot on Kyle. We focus on DeAndre Hunter because that's the, you know, lottery pick that a lot of people believe will happen in this upcoming NBA draft. But you guys have some unsung heroes. Diakite is not really unsung. He's legendary after that mm-hmm. Purdue shot.
Right.
But Braxton
right.
Key, I mean, Kihei Clark, who was a youngin. I mean, you guys had this complete unit, and when you guys, you know, first go into camp. Pre this season, after what happened the previous season in the 116 matchup, I mean, are you looking at this squad saying we have all the pieces? Because it feels like, in retrospect, you did, but did you know it?
Yeah, you know, from day one, I don't think we knew how deep of a bench we would have. I don't think we knew. We there's a lot of factors that we didn't know, but from day one, we did know that we had a lot of guys that wanted to compete and wanted to win. And Kihei came in from day one, and he loved to compete. And, you know, if you get someone that loves to compete and just wants to win, you can do a lot with that, especially in a culture like this. And same with Braxton. You know, he gives so much to the team. And, you know, Mamadi too, of course. So, you know, you don't win a national championship with three players, of course. So, you know, everyone played their role so well during this run.
I'm going to take that quote and send it down to Chapel Hill and Duke's campus. You don't win a national championship with three players.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Wow.
That was the story all season long. Did that bother you all? I mean, you guys yeah. have, I said this yesterday on our show, the best records by percentage, 66-6 over the last 2 years. 91.
In the ACC, you mean?
In the country.
Oh, that's right, overall. That's
91% win percentage over the last 2 years. The best in D1. And all anybody wanted to talk about was Zion Williams. And did that bother you guys at all?
No, I mean, you know, honestly, all the attention he got was well deserved. You know, he's a once in a lifetime player, hell of a player. So that was all well deserved, honestly. You know, we loved the two games we had against him and his team. I think I don't think the media does his team justice because he has some really good players around him too.
Yeah.
But you know, it was well deserved. He had a great year. They had a great year. So definitely no shade. Thrown that way.
Yeah,
well, listen, man, I was going to say, you made my partner's winter.
Man.
I mean, every turn, every bump in the road, where there weren't many, but these games, he was on pins and needles. He was there, obviously, as
yep.
he said. I don't like to ride in the little Robin part of the Batmobile. I usually like to kind of drive it, but for this ride, I was certainly sitting shotgun, and it was a cool ride as well for me. I didn't even go to Virginia, man. Great accomplishment.
Yeah, Ty, I got to sit courtside right next to John Paul Jones, who obviously you know, because it's the John okay. Paul Jones yeah. Arena. And it was the most amazing moment of my fandom life to stand right there with his family, wrap hands around everybody, and scream the good old song to the Raptors. So, Wahoo Wah, congratulations, my friend.
Thank you so much.
Be good.
Awesome. There he is, Ty Jerome of the Virginia Cavaliers. Get the update from Mac coming up. I want you to think about this. The Browns are no longer dysfunctional. The Knicks are on the precipice of a monster summer. Are the Lakers now the most dysfunctional franchise in all the sport? We'll get back to that after Rack, who's right now.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, Lakers, obviously a mess. We'll get back to that in a sec here on the show. Wednesday afternoon, Tiki and Tierney. Time to ask the pros. Give you a chance to ask us anything you would like to ask us. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Just tweet us up at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag AskThePros at CBS Sports Radio. Hashtag AskThePros. And make sure you stick around. Listen later on. Tiki and I will answer the best one. Could be about the Lakers. Could be about the Masters, which obviously begins in earnest tomorrow. And a lot of good stuff happening. Could be even something about the college hoop season, some NBA playoff possibilities. A lot of stuff to dive into. Baseball, a couple of injuries. Mike Trout pulled his groin.
Yeah.
Bregman pulled his hammy.
Trout Yankees, was on a fire, too.
I know he was. Yankees, Angels started playing a little bit better. Yanks have an issue with Severino. He's been pushed back 6 weeks with a lat issue based on the second MRI. So, obviously, a lot to choose from. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, and guarantee low prices at excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Magic Johnson. All right, so before we get into and pay off the tease, and the tease was the question that I posed to everybody, looking at the Browns and connecting the dots from last season and anticipating even more of a renaissance this year with the infusion of additional talent, OBJ, et cetera. And, of course, the Knicks, who are poised and expected to have a monster summer by netting both Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving.
Yep.
And possibly getting Zion Williamson as well. And even
by
that,
the luck of the draw.
Oh, yeah. And even if that didn't happen, there's one for the first time in a long time, you know what the Knicks aren't? The Knicks aren't dysfunctional.
Yes.
Now, the Knicks aren't good.
No.
But the Knicks are not dysfunctional.
Yeah, they have their coach in place, which is bringing the right philosophy and culture. It seems like James Dolan is not meddling, trying to bring in different executives who do this or that and the other thing, and they're all going in different directions. Like that seems to have sorted itself out a little bit. There's palpable, I don't know,
enthusiasm, positive energy
towards, you know, the guys that are going to come there or want to come there. So dysfunction is not what I would describe the Knicks. They just need to get good.
Yes, but that is exactly how we would describe the Lakers right now. And I want to play a couple things for you. First up, here's just Magic saying that he's ready to peace out and bounce. Magic Johnson last night.
So today, I'm going to step down as president. Her and I have such an amazing relationship. She gave me full power to do what I wanted to do. I want to always preserve our relationship and love her. And then I think that I had more fun when I was able to be the big brother and ambassador to everybody.
You know, it's funny. He starts it out like... So today, and I'm thinking, he's going to say, I'm going to implement this, or, you know, we're anticipating this as we go into the offseason.
Yep. I'm going to bring today, in someone to help me because I don't think I know what I'm doing, so I'm going to bring in this executive, whatever, vice president.
So today, I'm done. That was abrupt and Magic. And by the way, I don't begrudge Magic at all for wanting to go back to the role that he so clearly relishes and that he's so good at because he's horrendous running the Lakers. And he also expressed this, amongst other things, Magic just wants to get back and live his life again.
I like to be free. And then I got a great life. I was like, damn, I got a great life outside of this. What am I doing? You know, I got a beautiful life. So I'm going to go back to that beautiful life.
Probably a little too candid for some. That doesn't bother me.
It doesn't bother me at all. I mean, because he's telling the truth. We all know this. He's made hundreds of millions of dollars as a businessman, but putting in Starbucks and movie theaters.
He's got to be a billionaire at this point, doesn't he?
I don't know if he is yet.
Really?
He's close, because I know that Jordan was the only one. I remember seeing this. I don't know if it was last year or a couple years ago. They were talking about Jordan being close. I don't remember where Magic was on that list.
Okay.
But he will be eventually because he has holdings. You know what I mean? He has real estate and things like that that grow. But he's been unbelievable in the urban community, and he's so respected in those communities. And before taking on this role as vice president of basketball operations, where you open yourself to criticism,
there really wasn't anything to criticize Magic Johnson about.
No.
I mean, you could say, yeah, you sucked on TV. Okay, just wasn't put out for TV. A lot of people suck on TV.
That's true.
You know what I mean? They're just not good. They think they are. They're personable, but they're not.
I hear you.
I didn't, you know, whatever. He failed at that. Who cares?
Uh-huh.
But as Magic, and Magic is a brand in and of itself, just like Jordan is a brand in and of itself. And he walks around and he's larger than life. He meets people. He shakes their hands. You're like, man, I love this guy. That's Magic. Mm-hmm. And you can't be that when you're a sports executive because there's too much nuance and too much, finagling that has to happen mm-hmm. in order to be successful at that job. And I don't think Magic was willing to go down that road of being a shady person.
I would agree with that, but I also just don't think he wants to work hard.
Oh, I agree.
And by the way, all the great business endeavors that he's had.
Yes.
It's a little different than,
I think, like, working hard is relative, though, but go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say, like, you know, if take somebody who's not in the public spotlight.
Okay.
Somebody that just crafts insane wealth from nothing.
Yes.
I'm not saying that Magic, because, again, we've documented his great things for the community. Tremendous. I mean, he's done as much. I mean, I don't want to overlook anybody, but he's done at least in the last 30 years as much. I won't say more, but I'll say as much for the minority community than anybody in our country.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
he's done what he's done is undeniably great. However, when you're Magic Johnson, it's easy to knock on somebody's door and get thrown $100 million to start something up. And let's call it for what it is.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, so to say that his business acumen is through the roof could be a little misleading. People want to work with Magic because you'll make money with Magic.
It's not business acumen. That's not what you talk about when you talk about Magic. You talk about business success. It's mm-hmm. two different things. Right? It's two very different things.
I would agree with that.
Business acumen. Gotcha.
One is instinct and one is just being able to make money based on maybe your presence.
Exactly.
No, I get it.
And that's Magic.
I get it.
If am I putting Magic in a room and say, all right, develop a game plan, give me the profit and loss. And,
no, you're not doing that.
You give me
you're
all that stuff.
That.
You give me total accessible. No, he's not. He has no idea what you're talking
about.
No, you
trot Magic out when it's time to shake hands and kiss babies and cut the ribbon.
Exactly.
And he's great at that.
I 100% agree. And he's great at promoting. And, you know, part of a lot of businesses, especially mm-hmm. in 2019, hell, going back even a decade ago, 2010, you had to have a presence than when you started something new. Otherwise, you didn't get any attention.
Because there was no social media.
Agreed.
You just had to resonate
Agreed.
Without the spotlight of social media.
That's exactly right. And Magic Johnson was able to do that.
Oh, no doubt.
For him and his partners. I forget who his partners' names are, but they're all successful as well. But it was the perfect combination.
Mm-hmm.
So you give him success for that. Sports doesn't work that way. You can't just show up in sports.
No.
And so when you say he didn't want to work, I think in his defense, I don't think he knows how to work. You know what
That's
I mean?
That's an interesting angle.
It's different.
Interesting
right?
angle.
It's something to be said for that.
It's
very different when you have to, you know, actually strike a deal with someone.
Yeah.
Not just call up your boy and be like, hey, let me get that guy, James Jones. I know you don't know what the hell you're doing. Just buy him out. We got him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like
mm-hmm.
you want to get Anthony Davis. It's a little bit more nuanced.
Yeah.
Than calling up the Pelicans and
hook this up. Yeah.
Like, make this happen.
There's a grind that it's a good way to put it. Maybe not that he's reluctant to embrace because he was a great player mm-hmm. and greatness is derived from hard work, but maybe he doesn't know how to apply that hard work in this,
exactly.
in what is a non-conventional job for him.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, no, I don't doubt that. But let's answer the question. Is there a more dysfunctional team than the Lakers? The Raiders are getting their act together. The Browns have gotten their act together. Knicks are going to dominate this summer. I've been saying it for 5 months on the show.
Yeah.
Who else?
There's nobody in football, really, that's at that point. It's just terrible.
The Cardinals last year, but you can't lump them. They were good for a couple years before that.
Bruce Arians was there 2 years ago, and they were okay. They had a lot of injuries, and they've had a dysfunctional year.
Mm-hmm.
But to say you're dysfunctional means it had to have been multiple seasons and, you know, missed calls and directions. So nobody in football I can think of. Baseball, I mean, you could lump in the Marlins, but I think that's like a plan. Like they got a plan.
They had to do that.
Yeah.
They got Yelich, who's the MVP.
Yeah.
Stanton, if he's healthy, he's going to hit 45 bombs this year. They gave away a lot of good players. And I don't know that they got a ton back, but it was not a feasable economic model for them. They could not sustain that.
They had to strip down. They had to do it with their farm system and get a little bit lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Not dissimilar to the Rays, interestingly, in Tampa. Maybe you can pay one or two guys, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to have a full roster of superstars like some of these other teams. So, I mean, off the top of my head, without doing deep research into salary caps and
bad moves or directions.
Bad draft
team,
picks.
Bad draft picks. It's the Lakers, man.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
It is.
Because you know why? You right now, you have no trust that they're going to get it right tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
No.
So
unless, here's a name for you. I don't know if he wants to do it. I know you got to call up Kobe, or at least a cursory call. You got to kick the tires on the Mamba, don't you? Maybe Kobe rides it and saves you. Let's get to that coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.